This message tonight is my 31st message since I came to this church, and it's my last message in this building. So there's something to consider. Each person that preaches from now on, it's going to be their last message in this building. That's a sad thing, but then again, we've got excitement to come when we look forward to a new building and all of those things that go with it. Tonight's message is called What Happened After the Lame Man Met Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. So what happened to after the lame man met Peter and John? We all know the chorus that we sing, you know, Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way, and the rest of it. And then the end it says, and they tell him to rise up and walk. To rise up and walk. So just to review the account, Peter and John were going to enter into the temple when they saw a lame man begging for money. And he'd been doing that for most of his 40 years. I was going to suggest that could somebody in the congregation put their hand up if they were 40. But of course, there's nobody here to do that. So I won't do that. But 40 years. 40 years. He was brought to the temple by family or friends and placed near the entrance to the great temple to beg money from those who were going in to pray or conduct business or whatever they were doing going into the temple. Then came Peter and John and they cure him, or they heal the man. Then the Bible says he immediately stood up and went walking and leaping and praising God. So those muscles, etc., that had never moved, had never been exercised, had never taken weight for all of his 40 years, now worked perfectly. When we see him, if we can see him, he's not limping. He's not struggling to walk. He's not being assisted by his friends or relatives. In fact, the Bible says he's leaping. The actual Bible account in Acts 3, 7 to 9 says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, I'm no medical expert, but that just can't happen without divine interference. You just don't get strengthened legs and muscles and do all those things instantly. Remember, this man was 40 years old. Therefore, this is a miracle of great significance. So what happened? Oh, then the Jewish authorities came to congratulate and praise the Lord God and the disciples for healing this man who had been lame for most of his 40 years. No. 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 The Bible says they were upset. They were angry. They were furious. They were grieved that Peter and John had healed this man and had preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's chapter 4, verse 2. So they weren't happy at all. This man had been begging for 40 years. Now he's cured. Now he's healed. And they're angry and furious and grieved and upset. Oh dear. So what do? Well, they arrest them. And they put them in hold until the next day, as it was late. Now, I'm not sure who was arrested, but at least Peter and John and the lame man must have been, because he appears later on. However, because of the preaching, it says 5,000 men were saved. If we had 5,000 people get saved here, you'd read about it in the newspaper in Melbourne and Sydney and everywhere. I mean, that's a significant number. Peter and John are in there, they're preaching away, they're saying that Jesus, to be resurrected, you've got to trust in Jesus, and 5,000 men choose to do that. The passage went on to say, and it came to pass on the morrow, this is verse 5, that all of their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. That's a pretty thorough indication of who was there. They're all named. The leaders of the people did not care that this man had been cured or healed. They didn't care. It seems that all they were concerned about was their existence, their authority, their power, or their position. All they were concerned about was their existence, their authority, their power, and their position. But they did want to know by what authority the disciples had done this miracle. So they said, who told you to do this? By what authority do you do this? Let's see what the scriptures have to say. And if you've got your Bible there, chapter 4, verses 10 to 14 is where I'm reading. And thank you, Philip, for reading this earlier. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So Peter boldly proclaims, his authority is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I'm certain that everyone listening knew who that was. They were very familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then he goes on to say, and Jesus Christ is the rejected head of the corner, or cornerstones. And we read in Psalm 118, verses 22 to 23, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So Peter and John have worked out that these people have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the corner, or the cornerstone. And they've obviously gone back and found that reference in Psalm 118, 22 and 23, and they quote it to these religious leaders. And then they go on to say that there is salvation in nobody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Salvation is not the church. It's not a religion. It's not a pope or archbishop or any other religion, but salvation is in Jesus Christ, our Lord alone. A remarkable statement. So these are the remarkable claims made by Peter and John. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one whom they crucified. He's their power and authority. That he is the rejected head of the corner or cornerstone. And that God's salvation came exclusively from him. They went on and were observed to say that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. I think I'd like to be one of those. But that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the former lame man of 40 years standing with them, they found that they could do nothing against them. They couldn't do anything against them because this man was standing there. What was he doing? Was he being supported? No, he was walking and leaping and praising God. So what did they do? What did these officials do? Taking up the narrative in verse 15 and going through to 18. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. So take them outside, and we're just going to have a little chat here, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. They're saying, we've got a problem. A notable miracle has been done by these men, and everyone in Jerusalem knows about it, and we can't deny it. But that it spread, verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in this name. To no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. So they admitted that God had done a notable miracle. And what was done? They could not deny. So it's not like there's any form of excuse or getting out of this. They can't do anything. So they threaten them, saying in verse 18 and 19 and 20, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You've got to remember, these two disciples had spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had seen and heard a lot. So they confessed that they must speak that which they had seen and heard. So continuing this time in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported. Sorry, I'll start that again. And they went, and when they heard that, they lifted. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. So Peter and John went back to their own company, probably the disciples and those close friends, and reported all that was said. Peter and John recorded that the chief priests and the Jewish elders had commanded them not to speak. So they lifted up their voices to God and said, this is a summary, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. They confessed that God is the creator of all. What a shame that people willingly believe what is impossible in evolution, but refuse to believe in God's creation of 6 days. You know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to accept and believe the 6 days of creation, if you just take time to look. But these men, they knew that the Lord God was the creator of the world. Well, they lived with him for 3 years. They should have known. So who were the religious leaders? Who were the religious leaders? And it says in verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So the religious leaders, this is the high priest and those other there, they were direct descendants from Aaron. Aaron was the high priest that God had commissioned way back when they were wandering in the wilderness. And he, that is the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people once a year. So every year the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, it's dark in there, and had to offer a sacrifice. That's a significant position of great authority. Or should it be a significant position of servanthood? I'll leave that one for you to consider. So the high priest, Annas, should have been he should have been the servant of the nation. But this one was consumed with his own authority and power. He was more consumed with his authority, with the power that he exercised, than being a humble servant for the Lord God and for Israel. What a shame. What a shame. Caiaphas was the high priest when the Lord Jesus Christ was condemned and crucified. And I'm told by Josephus that he was dismissed from his office in 36 AD. Again, what a shameful man. What a shame. Now, I have no knowledge of who John and Alexander were, so I'll just leave them right there. So the rulers, the elders, scribes, those were the older, mature men who were like an advisory committee to the high priest. They also had positions of authority within the Jewish nation. They were equally responsible for the welfare of the Jewish nation. This lot, probably all of them, were also consumed with their authority and power and did not know or serve the living God. Again, what a shame. So what can we learn from this account? What's a lesson that we can put into practice from this account of Peter and John going there and healing this man. Well, I've got 8 points here. That insignificant actions, i.e. Peter and John going to pray, can lead to miraculous outcomes. Insignificant actions. Peter and John did not go down there looking for an audience. They didn't go looking to be accused by the leaders of all sorts of things. They just were going to pray. And they met a lame man on the way. And we know the outcome of that. 5,000 people saved in one afternoon. A 40-year-old beggar healed, and may I suggest saved. Not told that he was saved, but he went into the temple with Peter and John. It seems as though he was arrested with Peter and John, and he's testifying by his presence before the elders with Peter and John. So I'm suggesting that he was a saved man. The disciples, through the Holy Spirit, are encouraged when they leave this encounter with the so-called religious leaders of the time. The Holy Spirit has encouraged their heart. Wicked men pointed out for their disbelief in spite of overwhelming evidence. How did they go home and sleep that night? How did they do that, knowing that this man who'd been on his knees sitting down for 40 years was now healed? And they wouldn't respect the fact that God had done that. Wow. That's disbelief, isn't it? In the spite of overwhelming evidence. The humility and confidence of Peter and John and the healed beggar. They weren't boasting. They were extremely humble. But they had confidence in the Spirit of God for what had happened that day. That God can override medical situations. As I said previously, this man hadn't moved a muscle for 40 years. And yet the Bible says he was leaping. Wow. God can override medical situations. And then that last point 8, we must speak what we know to be true. Peter and John said to the religious leaders, you know, do we believe you or do we believe God? So what we know to be true, we must preach and share. So what's a possible application from tonight? What's a possible application? Again, I've got a few points here. We need to take opportunities to share when they come around, when there is an opportunity to share a word of testimony or to confirm one's belief. We need to take those opportunities. We need to believe the scriptures and look for applications. When we're doing our daily reading, we can sit there and read and close the book and go away, or we can ask the Lord, what's the application from this reading or these readings for my life today? Do you think God would say, I'm not going to tell you? No. We need to believe the scriptures and look for applications. We need to speak what we know to be true and take the opportunities when they come. Trust the Lord God in all circumstances. Now, we've heard this week of some children who have had some pretty bad medical experiences. We've had one of the men of the church have a pretty bad medical experience. We've got other family children that we know of that are going through difficult circumstances. We've got adults in the church who are living with ongoing problems. Well, we need to trust the Lord in all circumstances because he is in control and he does know what he's doing. Even in COVID, the Lord knows what he's doing. We can act as a Christian with humility and confidence in the Lord. That would be a good application, to act as a Christian, a humble Christian with humility and confidence in the Lord. So thank you for listening tonight. It's a short message. And when we sing that chorus about Peter and John, think about what a great, significant miracle was done by them and how it reacted through all of the leadership in Jerusalem and how God prevailed and they were set free, and the religious leaders were confronted by facts that they could do nothing about. So we can trust the Lord and we can look forward to all that he's going to do in the future. So just